Well, as a Methodist preacher, you know that you're supposed to be ready to preach or pray or die at a moment's notice. That's what they tell us in boot camp. We also, of course, are commissioned to bury the dead and marry the foolish. So that's kind of a job description kind of close together there. I've admitted to you a couple of times, just trying to be human, that I have a repetitive dream that occurs when I'm anxious or maybe have a little more pressure on me than I can handle, that I dream that I have missed a class in college, a course rather, and I've got to go back and go back to school and make it up, you know. Something obviously missing there for Paul Wolf. That also has kind of moved towards a parallel dream of that I'm not prepared to preach and I can't find my sermon and I'm about to get up and have to deliver a sermon. Another anxiety-driven dream, not necessarily horrible. I remain amazingly calm in those dreams, but at the same time, just know those anxiety buttons have been pushed. Well, this week, the dream has come true. Saturday morning, I expected to find in my SUV today's sermon, and about 6 o'clock Saturday morning when I was out looking for it, I discovered that the bag that it was in, a tote bag, was not in the vehicle. And so Miss Rita was just real happy for me waking her up at 6 in the morning and saying, hey, have you seen my duffel bag that I know I brought my sermon home with me in? And she was pretty groggy, and we wandered around the house, which has a lot of boxes still stacked around it, just trying to distinguish maybe what it got in, what it was behind, and no luck at all. So, question came, drive back from Daphne to Pensacola or start from scratch? And so, unfortunately, I started from scratch, I guess. I'll have to throw that out to you today. But I knew enough and had enough resources in my office to kind of pull it together. And so, my thoughts got pulled together quickly yesterday morning, because there were other obligations with family yesterday afternoon. So here we go today. But the Holy Spirit is with us. And I thought, wow, this is Holy Spirit Sunday. We're supposed to be a little bit agile today and waiting for the Spirit to move us a lot better than what I could have done on my own. So I just kind of say that to you to be a little honest and open with you this morning. You know, our lives are filled with opportunity and chance and consequence. It's a fabulous ride in many ways, but it's filled with anxiety and uncertainty, isn't it? I think that's the way God intended for it to be. And at the same time, we are filled with those exhilarating moments when we know we are exactly where we're supposed to be, and God is so awesomely present with us. And we're experiencing some occasion that will never be repeated, and we're privileged to be a part of it. All of that is a mixture of being created in the image of God, but also participating in the fallen nature of life. And so life is meant to be certainly at times a little bit unscripted and maybe a little bit out of control. We often rely, I think, on Murphy's Law. I want to read just a few of those to you today because I think it helps to think about our humanness. What we're learning about the human brain through neuroscience today is that negativity, bitterness, ungratefulness stick to the nerve endings in our brains like Velcro. And those thoughts are awfully hard to get rid of. But gratitude and faithfulness and reward and achievement are more like Teflon, and they slide away quite rapidly and easily. This is confirmed with the best science that we have today, which reminds us that constantly we need to be renewed, and we need to be filled, and we need to be challenged, and we need to be prayed over, and we need people to share life with. God gave us the church because God did not intend for any of us to do life alone. And the Holy Spirit has made the church possible. And so we gather today in the joy of the Spirit, to laugh at ourselves a little bit. One of the stainless steel truths of life is this, that one who laughs lasts. One who laughs lasts. Don't try to do life without laughter, without humor. Don't try to do life without developing the ability to laugh at yourself, the ability to be honest about your weaknesses, your foibles, your mistakes, your tendencies. Not that you want to build on those necessarily, but you have to own them because none of us ever learn to love perfectly. I've said that a couple of times recently because it's something that I have found some peace in, and I've admitted that I have not been able to love my Rita perfectly, to love my children perfectly, to love my congregation perfectly, to love the church perfectly. And yet, God's love and God's perfection helps to overcome those things in a mighty way that saves my soul and saves my life and builds me up and allows me to move forward even when the sidewalk has ended in life. So don't forget to laugh. And don't forget to tell the truth about yourself. And don't forget to be rude. Well, Murphy's Law, we've got to at least visit Murphy's Law because that makes all of us laugh, doesn't it? If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. I think you know that. If anything can't go wrong, it still will go wrong. Nothing is ever as simple as it seems. Nothing is ever as simple as it seems. Everything takes longer than expected. I bet you've experienced that. We experienced that trying to hang a TV yesterday afternoon at my house. It took a lot longer than we expected to get that TV up on the wall. Never seen as many washers and screws and angles. Whatever you set out to do, something else will have to be done first. You ever experienced that? You can't do just one thing. There are always consequences. If everything seems to be going well, you have obviously overlooked something. How true that is, isn't it? Those Murphy laws come to play in life. They cause us a lot of consternation, but they also cause us to stop and to laugh at ourselves. But alongside of those Murphy's laws, we certainly have to lay some scripture. And one of those scriptures is this: the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Even when it seems that we never fix things, because it seems that they never stay fixed, do they? We're always transitioning to another stage in life, to another challenge, to another time, another place. And yet, even though life doesn't stay fixed, the love of the Lord endures forever. It's a message of Holy Scripture. It's a message that we're meant to hold on to on this Pentecost Sunday. A couple thoughts that came to mind that I've been trying to work on to guide our thoughts in this day. Number one, fire, only fire kindles fire. You can't fake fire. Only fire kindles fire. And if you seek to change another person's life or soul, you have to burn a bit of yourself. You have to burn a bit of yourself. There's a bit of yourself that has to be on fire if you intend to change or to mold or shape or equip or bless or love another person. You have to burn a part of yourself, meaning that you have to have some fire in you as well. And then finally, if your heart is on fire, you will find a flaming tongue. If your heart's on fire, you'll find a flaming tongue. The disciples are gathered in the upper room. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and he has appeared to them. And you would think that they would be ecstatic. But they are locked in a upper room out of fear and intimidation and lack of direction and inspiration. And it leaves you sort of scratching your head at where the story has come to. They have been asked, commanded to stay together and to pray. They're joined with other Christians, and they really don't know what's going to happen, but they are going to stay together. And into that room comes a mighty rushing wind, and tongues that looked like tongues of fire came and rested on all of them, and everything changed. Do you know that we probably would not know about Easter if it were not for Pentecost? We sometimes think that Easter is truly the greatest day in all of church history and all of biblical history and in the change of all humankind. But without Pentecost, probably the message and the truth of Easter would have died. It would not have made it, and we would not know about Easter today. And then as the tongues of fire and that wind rested on the disciples, they burst out from that room with new confidence, with new inspiration. And it took the fire of heaven to kindle the fire within them and to send them on their mission. And in that upper room, that fire came in a mighty way. And the church is of Jesus Christ, the disciples of Jesus Christ, never have been the same. Only fire kindles fire, and fire cannot be faked. We hear stories of people knowing about the power of that fire and how hard it is to get a grip on it. I've said over and over again, it's a truth that I know to be real, and that is that you can't change another person by trying to get a page out of your personal notebook into their notebook. It just doesn't happen that way. And it's sad and it's excruciating, and we say, well, why can't they see this and why can't they understand it? And they can't, because it's a matter of the heart and it's a matter of fire, the fire of God, the work of God to change a life. If I were to give to you a script for your child, let's presume you have a young child, I give you the script of their life, and I say to you, here's an eraser, and you can erase anything in this script that you want to erase on behalf of your child, but you can't add anything. You can only erase part of the script of your child's life. Like me, perhaps you would begin to erase the difficult times, the challenges, the illnesses, the injuries, the hurts, maybe the bullying, maybe the hard lessons of failure, and on you would probably go, as I would, seeking to save that child from any pain within his or her life. But then pause and think what you're doing as you begin to make those erasures. You're erasing away those experiences that really shape and form us, aren't you? The very pain and difficulty and hurt that you have endured in life has made you who you are. The mistakes, the foibles, the things that you laugh at now that were so painful in the beginning that you experience, and yet you have been shaped and formed and molded by God, because the Spirit of God's Holy Spirit has worked with you through those challenges. Charles Spurgeon, in writing about his life, says that when he was in his early 30s, his wife was injured in these ancient days in giving birth to twins and never recovered and survived for 20 years as an invalid in his home. Charles Spurgeon constantly fought depression and anxiety in his life. He was a powerful preacher, seminary professor, influenced the government under which he lived, an amazing man. And he said, out of all of those challenges that he endured and in the consequence of his life work, he said, the thing that helped me most is that I learned to kiss the waves of the storm when they came crashing over me, because they pounded me against the rock of ages that was meant to shape and form me and allow me to know a God that was beyond me, that was greater than I am. And he provided the resources and the energy and the power to provide the ministry that I've been able to offer. It's really awesome when we think about our lives to realize that, as I often pray, that God is never nearer to us than when we need him the most. That God is never nearer to us and will never be nearer to our loved ones than when they need him the most. And in those moments that are sometimes so very painful, there is a transformation of the grace and Spirit of God that flows from God that changes a life. I read Tony Robbins occasionally. I have an interest in business and investing, and some of that is translated, I think, in better leadership skills within the church through the years. And I have read some of his works through the years, and most of them are nuts and bolts about institutions and management and finances. But I happened to pick up his latest book at the bookstore recently just to read some of it, and I was surprised that I saw it coming. He's drifted away from the matters of finance and business to human potential and development. And he holds large seminars, one of those multi-million dollar speakers and sellers of books and blogs and tapes and podcasts and the whole works. And when you go to one of his conventions, you meet with a coach, and occasionally he will work with a coach that will work with a client, and he was working with a young lady recently, and they were talking with her about her life and what was holding her back and what was keeping her from her potential. And in the midst of that seminar, it was discovered, she revealed to her coach, and Tony was in the room as well, she said, "You know, growing up, I was abused by my brother, and it was a terrible existence." And she says it was so very, very painful. And I never have been able to shake that, despite the fact that we are now grown and gone our separate ways, and it still holds me back from having the confidence that I need in life and finding the restitution and the healing and wholeness that I desire. And Tony, being who he is, said to her, "What would be the possibility that we would call your brother right now and get him on the phone and allow you to talk about your pain, to share your hurt with him, and seek some restitution and wholeness?" And she agrees to do so. And they phone the brother, and she talks to him, and she says to him, "Look, what you've done to me is tragic, and I'll never let you do it to me again. She said, I want you to know that I love you and you're my brother, and I hope that in the future we can make amends and find our way forward." And it was in that moment that finally the healing came to her that she so longed for in her life. Friend, those breakthroughs are not easy, but they are real, and they are powerful, and they are life-giving, and they come out of the work of the Holy Spirit within our world. You don't give to someone who is hungry a recipe, do you? Or to someone who's starving, you don't give a menu, you give them rice. To someone who's sick, you don't give them a lecture on the development of medicine. You either perform surgery or you give them medicine. But so often, the church, when without the Holy Spirit, becomes just that organization that gives the menu and the recipe and the lecture out of the notebook about how things could be and should be, without giving the great gift of life that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And so you can't kindle fire without fire. You can't really change another person's life or significantly influence them without burning yourself. There's got to be some fire and flame and smoke and some smothering of that flame within your own life that's powerful and directed and also sacrificial as well. And when that fire that's within you begins to influence another life, that's the fire of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that has the power to transform, that doesn't just have the words but has that experience that changes from within. True change in all of us begins on the inside, doesn't it? Not the outside. But boy, don't we spend a lot of time tampering with the outside. The whole world is tampering with the outside without saying that there is one Lord and one God. There is the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is the power of the Holy Spirit. And what seems impossible to happen, can happen through the power of God. And then there is that power of our being so excited about that flame within our lives that we either become a tongue of fire, or we gather around someone who has that tongue of fire in order to minister to the world. I have known people who have had tongues of fire. One of my heroes, I can't summarize or share all of them from my early years, but one was Colonel Veazey. Colonel Veazey had three tall, strapping sons that I competed against in athletics, was fortunate enough to play on his Babe Ruth baseball team that Colonel Veazey coached, along with one of his sons. I played in left field. I know he prayed quite often. I just pray they don't hit at the left field, that Paul Wolf. That will definitely mess up the game, or at least make it interesting. Colonel Veazey was one of the first people that I knew who owned a 1967 Ford Mustang. I think Mustangs came out 67, 66, 67. Can't get that date quite nailed right, but you can imagine these three big sons sitting on the back seat, which was not very large, and then his tall, beautiful wife and Colonel Veazey. And there's always a part of life that just kind of doesn't get bundled up perfectly, I don't think, for any of us. Or maybe I should say it's unplanned, that tongue of fire within life. And that tongue of fire and that bundle that didn't quite fit was a little Korean girl, quite young at that time, that the colonel had discovered in Korea and had eventually adopted, and she had become part of the family. And it was just beautiful to watch those doting, big, strapping young men crowded in the back, and the colonel and Mrs. Veazey and the little Korean girl in the front. You could drive children around the front seat back then. I don't even know if that car had seatbelts in it. But that was another day. And it was just that part of things just kind of happen in a beautiful way that God brings them together. But he taught Sunday school, faithful. He taught the mid-high Sunday school, which was wonderful, and was such a great role model. I'll never forget when he had us boys at the military chapel in his Sunday school class coming forward for communion, and a young soldier in the colonel's command was stepping up to the communion rail as well, and we were behind the good colonel, and the young man hesitated when he saw his commanding officer. And I'll never forget the good colonel's words, "Son, there's no rank at this table. There's no rank at this table." That did something for me. I don't know why it impacted the others that were there that day. I began to realize that there is another kingdom, there's another order, there's a kingdom order that's powerful and unifying and tremendous, and it can only be of God. God's Holy Spirit works in that order and in that domain in a powerful and amazing way, and it touches our lives and recreates us. That there is in this house, of course, no rank at all. In our hands, no price we bring, simply to Christ's cross we cling. What in the world can we bring in exchange for our salvation? What can we bring to thank God that God knows our name? What can we bring to know that whatever we face, whatever storms we might face, only reliance we have is in God's Spirit, in God's presence, and God will make provision, and God will see us through, and finally, in the end, all things will be well, and all manner of things will be well. And that can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't fake fire, and you can't fake the Spirit. But if you can ever have it touch you and ever rest on your shoulders as a burning fire, or ever have someone who knows about that Spirit that takes time for you and loves you unconditionally and steps out of their comfort zone to care for you, your life will be transformed and it will be changed. And we say praise and thanks to God. I'm grateful to those people, and I wanted to mention several of them that have changed my life, but I'm grateful today for the good colonel. It was an important time for me to know someone like him and for him to care for me in the name of Christ, in the name of the chapel, and just the name of humanity of adopting an awkward teenager and seeking to help him find his way.